They can damage boats like you wouldn't believe. Cripple water systems. And the costs of dealing with them could be in the billions of dollars. The state of California right now trying to figure out what to do about these mussels. I didn't realize that they were, quote unquote, coming at us until the Okanagan Basin Water Board issued a call to come to a meeting. They were setting up some public meetings to address the whole advent or the approach of the zebra mussel to our shores and their threat to the Okanagan waters. Anna Warwick Sears is the president of the Okanagan Basin Water Board and the driver behind all things water in this valley. She's one voice who's going to speak to this issue. Anna Warwick Sears, Dr. Anna Warwick Sears, good morning to you.
Good morning, Phil, and I have to confess I'm just the executive director, but to do what I can for water in the Okanagan.
How'd you like to be president for a day? And the other voice to this conversation, just over there on the other side of the bridge, the mayor of West Kelowna, Doug Findlater. Sir, good morning to you.
Good morning, Phil. And I'm a director on the board representing Central Okanagan. That's my connection to this.
Right. Do you mind if we make Anna Warwick Sears, Dr. Anna Warwick Sears, president for the day?
That'd be great.
All right. Okay. Well, here we go.
A great chair, but she'd be a great president.
There you go. Let's start with the larger scope of the challenge, if we will. And these things have been in North America for a long time, but they've always been out there on the East Coast, a threat to inland waterways on the East Coast. They weren't something that was going to be in our backyard.
Well, people thought for a long time that they were just an issue of the East Coast, and they were going to make it across the prairies, and then all of a sudden they started showing up in places like Lake Mead and in California, and they're very small. They don't have any legs, but they are moving at an incredible rapid pace, and that's because they mostly are moving on on the boats that we're pulling with our cars. So wherever there are people moving, there's a chance that we can move invasive species, and this is one that we've successfully moved in the last 20 years from the East Coast right west.
Because of our lifestyle. And, I look at how milfoil weed was transported into the Okanagan and the resulting impact of milfoil. And it was easy to spot. You could see milfoil hanging on a boat trailer. Or you could see milfoil hanging off a prop leg on a boat, and so you could grab it and pull it off. These guys are they're invisible to the naked eye when they're in their smallest form.
That's right. I think the most important thing is to know where your boat's been and to know whether your boat's been somewhere that's been contaminated already. So that's the first level of public awareness that we have to do. We've been pretty well protected so far by some very vigilant inspection stations in the state of Idaho and in Oregon, and they're trying to keep the mussels out of their lakes, and they've sort of been helping us because a lot of our boat traffic comes north from there, but we don't have any inspection stations protecting us on the Alberta end of things.
Right. I want to come back to that whole concept of the inspection stations later, but I just want to move over to Doug Findlater, who is, as he indicated at the outset, as a member of the Okanagan Regional Board, that's his position and why he's giving voice to the challenge and the subject. Doug, if this would get into the water, it represents untold millions of dollars in costs. To municipalities, be they large or small, up and down any one of our lakes or rivers?
Yes, a huge cost to local government. Anyone who maintains water intakes, I know West Kelowna does. We have three of our smaller systems pull water from Okanagan Lake. Outfalls from sewage plants can be plugged by these things. We're part of the Westside Wastewater Treatment Plant from the regional district. In innumerable numbers of small intakes that individuals have who could suddenly find themselves at their homes where they have intakes out of the water. I want to say something and why we tend not to take this very seriously because they're goofy names, zebra and quagga. And, you know, I wish they were called piranha mussels or something like that.
Well put.
That would really, really catch people's attention and take this as serious as it is. Because right now it's very, very easily dismissed. But we know from what's gone on in the United States and Eastern Canada, these cost local government and state or provincial governments a ton of money to maintain. And aside from that, your environment is destroyed. It impacts on tourism. You get these hard little shells all over your sandy beaches. And fisheries are affected. The damage from them can be very widespread once they take hold.
You know, it just strikes me, and just to do a parallel, the sterile insect release program, and I just thought it would be worthwhile. The orchard industry in British Columbia has spent millions upon millions of dollars in preventative measures, releasing sterile insects to basically fight against the coddling moth. And they've been eminently and very successful at it. So I don't think that it's a hopeless task. I think it's awareness, and I agree with Doug. I think we need to officially change the name.
Well, and then of course, you know, we've all spent untold dollars on trying to control milfoil, and it's been successful to some extent, but it's not eradicated. But Anna can speak to the control measures that, and I know she's looked at it, whether a coddling moth SIR model would work.
Let's go to this because I think that the front line of the battle is going to be the eastern border with Alberta and the southern border with the state of Washington and Oregon. Are we going to see the day when literally someone who has a boat and a trailer is going to see the trailer and the boat go through almost like a sheep dipping pond or a cattle dipping pond, where literally you get pulled in one end and pulled out the other? And disinfect your boat before you can come into British Columbia?
Well, that could happen. The problem is that a lot of these things start feeling like invasions of privacy or terribly inconvenient. They're difficult to fund, things like that. There's a lot of political hurdles to get over, interjurisdictional things between the province of BC and Alberta and the governments of Canada and the United States and the federal and provincial governments, so many different regulatory things to untangle before you could really get some things going like that. But they are, in fact, doing it in the United States, and they're doing it on basically a user pay model, so that you get a sticker on your boat that says that you've been inspected and that your boat's been decontaminated, and then you're free to move on. I wanted to clarify that the SIR model isn't really a good analogy for this, because there's not really any good way of controlling the population of zebra mussels once it gets into a lake. Basically, what you're looking at is putting chlorine injection into your pipes, scraping your boats. People don't have a way of actually controlling the population of the mussels themselves.
They're
trying to deal with the incrustations that are happening.
Right.
It's more the quarantine model that works.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
That's what we're looking at. The only way to manage them right now is to stop them from coming in. And so we're having a big public awareness campaign called DontMoveAMussel.ca. We have a website, we have billboards, we have bus shelter ads, radio ads, I believe, on Astro Radio. Just trying to get people to understand what the scope of the problem is.
And a webinar coming up on Wednesday from 10 o'clock until noon. I'm going to find out. I've never participated in a webinar before, but I'm going to find out about this one and suggest that we all, if we've got some time, whether we're at work or at home or wherever, that maybe we should just sort of stop down and take a minute to find out more about this. Back in a moment, talking about zebra and quagga mussels. I'm agreeing with Doug Findlater. I think if we'd put some sort of name like piranha on the front end, it would make a big difference into people's uptake on being concerned.